You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Monday the 13th of September 2021, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Well, today I want to talk a little bit about something that I mentioned at the end of Friday's podcast, and to really just to see where it takes us. And at the end of the podcast, I mentioned that essentially what we are doing here at Radio Albion is trying to prevent the collapse of civilization. Now, this may sound like a lofty ideal, but that is essentially what we are doing by cataloguing our history and what's been going on in the history of the world, because this has been going on right since the beginning of the world. Everybody relies on our civilization, and it's just so infantile to then accuse us of somehow, oh, it must mean that you hate Jews, or it must mean that you hate black people. Well, no, we don't hate Jews, we don't hate black people. Jews rely on our civilization just as much as we do. Black people rely on our civilization just as much as we do. If our civilization goes, who is there going to be to replace it? Now, all the times that civilization has fallen before, there's been another group of people somewhere in the world ready to carry that torch forwards and rebuild another civilization. At the end of the civilizations of the ancient world, we had a group of white people in Europe that had been there for a few thousand years, basically harvesting the resources and then transporting the resources into the civilizations of the Near East. When those civilizations collapsed, civilization was able to begin again in Europe. Now, if our civilization today collapses, who is there going to be to start another one? Where is it going to carry on from? There is no other group of white people outside of the empire. We're all within the empire, and the same thing is happening to us that happened to the civilizations of the Near East. What happened was they tried to bring their civilization to these other peoples that didn't have civilizations of their own, and they ended up bringing them into the civilization. They ended up making them into equal citizens. They ended up interbreeding with them. And once they had interbred with them, they lost the ability to maintain the civilization. They became essentially the same people as the people that weren't able to build a civilization. And this is not to do down the other peoples of the world. It's just reality. We don't see certain peoples building civilizations. For instance, if we go to Africa and we look at sub-Saharan blacks, they didn't build a civilization. They didn't come up with a system of writing, so they weren't able to pass on the information to the next generation. If we go to Australia and we look at the Australian Aborigines, they weren't capable of building a civilization. If you look in New Zealand, you look at the Maoris, it's the same there. If you go to South America, you had the Aztecs and the Mayans. They didn't build civilizations up to the standard of the one that we have today. And there's a lot of evidence to show that they had a high degree of European admixture. Of course, we weren't known as Europeans back then. We were Phoenicians and Egyptians. They made their way over to South America. And we find the evidence of that in the red-haired people of the islands there when the European colonizers, adventurers, when they got there, they were amazed to find that a lot of the people there had red hair and blue eyes. So a similar sort of thing that we see to some of these tribes that are still there in Afghanistan, that every so often there will be a blonde-haired child produced with green eyes. And that is basically a remnant of when the area was white. And once the white people stopped being white, they stopped being able to maintain the civilization. And this is the history of our world. And that doesn't mean that you hate these other peoples. Far from it. I mean, we have peoples in the Amazon rainforest and in South America that are still living at the Stone Age level. I think they may be in Brazil. And we have similar types in Papua New Guinea. And the governments there have basically said these peoples are out of bounds for Western civilization. We don't want to give them diseases. We don't want them to catch the common cold, because that could wipe them out. And we essentially want to leave these people alone. And we're absolutely fascinated by these peoples. I mean, there's so much we can learn from them about how life used to be, about how different they are from us and the way that they do things. It's interesting to learn about. I mean, you don't hate them because they didn't build a civilization. I mean, that is absolutely nonsensical, that you would just hate people for being different. I mean, we, as particularly as white people, we are fascinated by the differences that there are between the different peoples of the world. We developed an entire science devoted to it, which is the science of anthropology. Of course, anthropology in the last century, it got changed to try and pretend that everything that happens is cultural and is not racially based. But the evidence shows that it is racially based. I mean, we inherit our ideas and our ways of doing things. We inherit them from our parents. There are certain things that all the types of animals, they just instinctively know how to do. They don't need to be taught this by their parents. They have it. They have an instinctual drive. Creatures like salmon, when it gets to the right time of year, they will instinctively make their way back to where they were born, and they will spawn. How do they know the way to get back to where they were born? How do the birds know where to migrate to in the winter? And how do they know these things? It gets passed on to them. And it's the same with human beings. This drive to build civilization, to tame nature, to bring chaos, order to the chaos, is something that is inherited by white people. And it sets us apart as being different from the other peoples of the world. Now, the Chinese have also had a level of civilization. But when you go back and you look for the evidence of the originators of that Chinese civilization, you find that the oldest bodies that are actually found there are Caucasian bodies. And we'll be getting into this in the Patriotic History series when we actually get there. There's a place called the Tarim Basin, or the Pamir Plateau, and it has salt flats there. And the bodies that were buried in these salt flats, they were preserved. And we find that the oldest bodies there are Caucasian. And about 1,000 years later, we start finding the Mongoloid type, which is the Chinese type that we have today. And when we look at the early Chinese histories, they talk about red-haired people. Buddha was red-haired. Buddha was a Scythian. So we can see that at the time that civilization began in China, you actually had white people there as well as the people that are Chinese today. And I dare say the Chinese people today also have a certain degree of white admixture with them. And they have a high IQ. I mean, this isn't just about a high IQ, though, because there are plenty of white people that have a low IQ. And when you think about it, the people that were actually sent over to Australia were likely to be white people with a low IQ. They were the people that the British government really didn't see as being worth very much. they were the villagers. They were actually known as the Villeins, and they were classed as a criminal class and sent over to Australia. But once they got to Australia, they ended up building a civilization. So it's not just down to IQ, because as we know, the Chinese have a very high IQ. They are starting to develop things more now, but we don't really see them having a very high standard of civilization in the past. And I think what happened was that white people started off the civilization there, and then they became interbred with whatever the mongoloid type was back then, and that created the modern Chinese type today. So what we can see is that this torch of civilization, this is passed from one people to another people throughout history, but each people that it passed to, they were white. We can try to pass it on to these other races, and we have tried to do that in South Africa. South Africa has a majority black government. It is a majority black country. And when it was handed over to them, they were nuclear capable. They were producing enough food for themselves. It was a first world country, essentially. When we look at the country today, 20 years later or 30 years later or whatever it is, they can't produce enough food for themselves. You have to bring your own equipment into the hospital if you need surgery or an operation. There are power cuts from the power stations because they are not maintained. So what that essentially tells us is that the people that took over South Africa have difficulty with maintaining the civilization that they were given, basically. And this is predicted by looking back in history and seeing that they were not capable of producing a civilization for themselves. Does this make you hate the black South Africans? Of course it doesn't make you hate the black South Africans. It makes you feel sympathy for them, if anything else. And you think, well, what is the way that we could probably best help these people? Well, the best way you can always help people is to help them within their own countries. If you start importing them into your country, you're just importing the same problems that they have in their country into your own, which is a ridiculous thing to do. I mean, what we see happening in Europe and in America is we see that our leaders are effectively setting up problems for us in the future by having immigration policies that are going to cause the collapse of our civilization. Once you end up with a certain number of people outnumbering the people that can maintain the civilization, then it's going to collapse and it's going to fall apart. And one of the other things that we see happening when this sort of thing occurs is you will see resentment between the different races. You will see that there is a conflict there, which is just caused by multiculturalism. I mean, this conflict is not there when peoples live separate to one another. But when you put everybody all together and you say that they're all the same, then people can look around and they can say, well, we're not the same. We haven't got as much as you. And since you've told us that we're all the same, the reason for that must be because you're oppressing us in some way. And then this resentment builds because this one group think that the only reason that they don't have the same success in life as this other group is because the other group are keeping them back or are keeping them down. And then you see that there can be this anger there that arises from this resentment. And the anger makes its expression known in the destruction of the representations of the people that are seen as the oppressors. So we see the Black Lives Matter movement, which tears down statues and representations of white people. And yes, there are a lot of white people that are involved in that movement. This is maladaptive. In actual fact, it's majority white people that are involved in it. We've suddenly become addicted to self-harm and desecrating the memory of our ancestors. And if you're going to destroy the memory of your ancestors and make out that they're bad people and they were the ones that actually built the civilization, if you were going to go back on all of their traditions and everything that they taught us, then it's not going to be long before the civilization collapses. And talking about this iconoclasm, this destruction of the statues, this is something that we see happening in all of these previous civilizations. One in particular was the Indus Valley civilization, again, which we've talked about on Patriotic History. This civilization began in about 3000 BC. It was highly advanced. They had sanitation, they had wells, they had baths, they had running water, they had three-story houses, they had brick-built houses. They were very advanced. And suddenly, around about 2000 BC, we see that all the statues and all the representations of the people that built the civilization were smashed up. And we find that the bodies that we find had hideous injuries. They were all smashed to pieces, these bodies were. And there's no evidence of anybody coming in and invading the Indus River Valley civilization. There's no explanation for what actually happened here. And it looks to me that what happened there is that there was this resentment there between one group of people and another group of people, essentially the group of people that built the civilization, that maintained it, and the group of people that were probably used to do the building. So you probably had one group that designed the structures and that designed the infrastructure, and then you had another group that would have been given food and board, and they would have been expected to do all the hard work. And what would have happened is there would have been this resentment there from the group that were doing the physical work, and they would have seen that the group that weren't doing the physical work but were doing the intellectual work, that they weren't doing this physical work, and there would have been this resentment there, because there would have been people just like there are today saying, oh, all human beings are equal, all the races are equal, why is it that this group does the intellectual work and why is it that you're doing all the physical work? So there would have been this resentment there. There was also a two-tier health system, and the intellectual types were being looked after medically, and the other type were not being looked after medically. So that civilization ended in massive ultra-violence, and before the massive ultra-violence occurred, there was the smashing of the statues. And then we can look at Roman civilization and how when people outside of Rome came in, that they smashed things up and they smashed up the representations of the Romans. We can look at what ISIS are doing when they go into Syria and Palmyra. They smashed up all the statues and the representations of the white people that there were in Palmyra, the Romans and the Greeks. And Palmyra was actually built by King Solomon. And of course, King Solomon was white. All the peoples in the Levant, the Israelites, they were white people. And the representations of these white people that were representations of that ancient civilization that was in Palmyra, ISIS just smashed them up. Then we can look at the Taliban in Afghanistan, and 20 years ago they blew up the Bamiyan Buddhas. And of course the Bamiyan Buddhas were representations of white people. Buddha was a white man, he was a Scythian prince. So they destroyed these representations of the people that were there before them. And then you can fast forward to today, and last week we saw General Lee, a famous heroic white man in America. And his statue was lynched, and it was cut in half, cut into little pieces. I mean, the hatred involved in doing that, just smashing it into little pieces, is just, it's scary to see what's being done to these representations of white people. And then you can look at what goes on in Britain with the lynching of the Edward Colston statue, the defacing and the graffiti of Queen Victoria and others, and Winston Churchill. It's going on in Canada. There's a destruction of statues in Canada. And what this is iconoclasm. It's the destruction of the representations of the people that built the place. And we're going along with this. As white people, we're going along with it. We're cheering it on. We're saying, well, this is great, isn't it? We're getting rid of all these horrible old racists. And we forget the people that we are calling horrible old racists are our grandparents and our great-grandparents, and that's where we came from. we're desecrating the memory of our ancestors. And what we should really be doing is looking at that and saying, well, hang on a minute, these people were the same as us. They were good people. We can't be being told the truth that they were horrible racists. It must be something different. And if you go back to the primary source documents, you see that they weren't racist. They weren't hating these other peoples for the colour of their skin or anything like that. They just understood that these other peoples were different to us. And they thought about that, and they thought, well, what is the best way to deal with this? We have a group of people here that are really sort of living barely out of the Stone Age. They're involved in human sacrifice. They're involved in killing one another. They have lots of violent wars between themselves. But they are essentially human beings. Surely there must be some way that we can help these people. And rightly or wrongly, because these people were selling one another as slaves, we bought them as slaves. We brought them to America. And we fed them, and we housed them, and we taught them how to read and write, and we set a good example to them, and in exchange we expected them to work on farms. And some of these slaves were educated to quite a high standard. And eventually, when we did away with slavery, we had this group of African Americans, and they were given all the sort of things that we knew they would need to survive. They were given farms, they were given farming implements, and most of the time they were just given this freely by their former owners, because the owners thought, well, how are they going to look after themselves once they've been freed? And this was the biggest fear of the slaves as well, is how are we going to look after ourselves once we've been freed? We don't know how to build a civilization. We've never built a civilization before. We need somebody to be employing us so that we can survive, basically. And then you had the system of employment that we have now. And over there in Africa, we thought, well, what can we do for these people that are killing one another and still eating one another in some instances? And we thought, well, the best thing to do is to teach them how to harvest their own resources, create their own products, and then sell these products on the world market so that they no longer are forced to sell one another as slaves. Because in Africa, they didn't have anything else that they were creating. All they were doing was kidnapping one another, going to the next village, kidnapping the next village, and then selling them as slaves. And that was the economy that they had. So we thought, well, what we'll do is we will colonize Africa. And this was David Livingstone's idea. This was the reason for colonizing Africa. It wasn't to oppress the peoples there. It was to help the peoples there. And the whites built cities there, and they built roads and a transport network in between all these cities so that they could get to the coast. And they taught the Africans how to read and write. They set up schools for them. They taught them how to work in the mines and to extract the minerals and to make products. And we did away with slavery, and we did all that we could to help these people to manage for themselves. And this was all well and good up until the Second World War. And after the Second World War, we said, well, we're looking over there at Germany, and we defeated Germany, and they're clearing away the rubble from the cities that we bombed. But then we're looking over here in Britain, and what we see happening over here in Britain is that we are clearing away the rubble from the city, from the cities that were bombed and the mess from the war. Surely if we're the winners of the war, it shouldn't be us that are clearing away the rubble. And this was the mentality of the people in Britain at the time. So what was done was that people from the far-flung outreaches of the British Empire, they were invited to come to Britain to help us to rebuild the country, basically. And some nationalists may not like to hear this, but this is a fact. This comes from an eyewitness to this part of history, and I recommend people listen to our series with Mr. I, a man in his 90s who watched all of this happen. And he said the reason for this immigration coming in from the Caribbean, it was because the British people themselves did not want to be doing the same work that the Germans were doing, because they saw it that they had won the war. And that's the reason for why this immigration started in Britain. But ever since then, there's been different excuses that have been found for it to continue. And we've told ourselves that we just need to allow these people in because they're refugees, they're doing the jobs that we don't want to do, they're just looking for a better life, all these excuses that have been found to keep this immigration going. And all the while this immigration is coming into our country, all the best people from the countries that they're coming from are leaving. So all the bright people from Africa are now coming into Europe, and it doesn't leave anybody bright left there in Africa to help build up their own continent. So instead of doing what we used to do, which was trying to help them within their own country, we've now decided that we're just going to import them all into our country. And the end result of that is that our country will end up looking like theirs. And this is not just happening in Britain. This is happening in every white country. It's happening all over Europe. It's happening in America. And this is why we see these problems occurring there. And these other countries of the world, the countries that we try to bring democracy to, like Afghanistan, like Libya, like Syria, they see this going on and they say, well, we don't want this in our country. We don't want movements like Black Lives Matter smashing down the statues and tearing everything down. We don't want our women deciding that they want to kill their babies. We don't want abortion in our countries. We don't want a high divorce rate. We don't want to promote homosexuality to children. All these ideas they see as weakening the West. They see these ideas as weakening the nation and essentially collapsing Western civilization. Why would they want to import those ideas into their country? And again, this is not about hating people. This is about looking at societal trends and what their overall effect is on the nation, on the civilization, and on the world. And if it continues, it won't just be our problem, it will be everybody's problem. If the West collapses, if the West falls, there's going to be nobody there to pick up the pieces. We do have a slower decay happening in the East and in Russia, but Russia is still fairly liberal. Russia still has immigration into the country. They do still have peoples coming in there that are vastly different to their own. Okay, it's at a much smaller level. I mean, that is basically the only hope that we have, is that if the West falls, if Western civilization falls, then the East will be there to pick up the pieces. Russia will be there to pick up the pieces, and places like Hungary and Poland are resisting this. So it's not as if all is lost. And this is the positive side of the story, is that we have these places like Hungary and Russia. But what do our mainstream media do when they hear that countries like that are not going to allow immigration into the country from peoples that are not Christian or peoples that are not like themselves? They end up being rubbished and demonized, and they're told that they're anti-democracy. In actual fact, all these countries are doing is trying to preserve their inheritance. They're trying to keep civilization going. They're trying to do the right thing, and this is why we praise them here at Radio Albion. And this is why we document these things happening. When we see these countries doing good things, we talk about them and we point out why they are good for the civilization and why they are good for our extended kinship group. And when we see things happening that are not good for us, we point out why they are not good for us, why they are not good for the extended kinship group, why it is not good to be teaching four-year-olds that they can change their gender, why it is not good to be promoting miscegenation in the adverts on the television, why it is not good to be presenting a false view of history where Britain was always multicultural. We will bring out the opposing view to this, because all that everybody else sees on the television and on the radio is this viewpoint that all of this is wonderful, all of this is great, we need more statue smashing, we need more changes to our history. And there are very, very few voices that are pointing out where this is all heading. And essentially, it is all heading to the collapse of our civilization. This is not about hating anyone. It is about preserving everyone. And in particular, the way to do that is to preserve our own people. You have to ensure that your own life is safe first before you go in to try and save somebody else's life. And that is an essential rule of life saving. You have to look after yourself first before you're going to be in a position to be able to help all these others. If we put everybody else first and we stop putting ourselves first, then everything is going to collapse and we're going to end up destroying ourselves, because that's what we see happening. We see the white race is collectively committing suicide at the moment, because that's what it's being led to do by its leaders. And the only people that are pointing this out and that are trying to prevent this from happening are the nationalists. And that is why we do what we do. Well, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.